Okay, this morning I'm going to finish, in theory, Ephesians chapter 1. We'll be in verses 19 through 23, a particular stretch of scripture that has a very strong focus on spiritual warfare. So I'm, for context, going to start by reading verse 18. In fact, I'm going to start with 17. I'm going to read 17 and 18 and then go into our commentary starting with 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Now, I want to start by pointing out that the prior content or the prior comments went down the path that God wants you to have understanding, wants you to have wisdom and revelation in his knowledge, and wants you to have understanding, wants you to have light, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. And when you have understanding of your hope, this gives you a strong moral impetus to keep going forwards in your earthly calling. You know, why do people struggle through and endure through all the sacrifice and self-denial to get an education and climb the corporate ladder, or to go through a business that struggles to stay afloat for 5 years, starts breaking even, makes a little gain, and then 10, 15 years down the road, finally starts raking in the big dollars? Well, why do they do that? They've got their eye on the hope at the end. And it's no different for the believer. It's the same principle. It's just that we've got that principle applied to the eternal and spiritual realm, and most people just have it applied to the material and earthly realm. So when we come to this spiritual warfare aspect in verse 19, this "I want you to know" still applies. Because what does God want us to know? God wants us to know what is his exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now when you start to enter into this, you'll see some precious truth. Now when I look at spiritual warfare in the church, I basically see a couple things that are going on, and they're not necessarily distinct. I mean, they're different, but they're often the same people. And this spiritual warfare that I often see is people praying loud, praying with bombast, a lot of hollering and screaming and yelling, a lot of pretending, but they're also, they see this massive army of demonic spirits that we're up against. And so when they look at this, they feel timid. And so their reaction to this spiritual warfare reminds me of the kid that's getting bullied in high school. And finally one day he just kind of nerves himself up and the bully pushes him into the locker like he often does. And he just stands up on his tiptoes and puffs his chest out and flexes his muscles and hollers back at him. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but it makes him feel a little bit bigger. And he's doing this. He's responding because he's intimidated. He's scared. And I think that this is the way that a lot of people go about their spiritual warfare. They respond to the fact that they are afraid of all these powers and principalities that are deceiving and lying and work in false miracles and have some amazing powers, and they teach false doctrine. And everywhere you look, you see people run over by this stuff. And they feel like they're vulnerable. And so they're timid. They're afraid. Well, you know what? It's true. This world is filled with devils. This world is filled with powerful demons. This world is caught up in a web of lies. The mystery of iniquity is rolling forwards like a steamroller, smashing conservative thought, smashing religion, smashing morality, just trashing and destroying everything it comes into contact with. And when we look around, the majority of the Christians we see do not walk by the Bible alone. They're influenced by lies that have been taught by the devils to the church. And they believe that stuff. You know, your security is hanging on to the Word of God alone. But these believers, they look at this powerful working and they're on the edge of paranoia. They're afraid. And this is why when they get together in groups and they have their big, powerful spiritual warfare meetings, they're thumping on their chest and shouting and hollering. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work because it's still operating on the principle of fear. I want us to move into the principle of faith when we're dealing with these powers and principalities. The first thing you need to understand is Satan is a very finite created being. This isn't something I invented. This isn't even a secret insight. All you have to do is actually have read through the Bible with your eyes open and you will see that Satan is a very finite being. And when you compare him to God, it's like comparing man to God. Compared to God, the difference between Satan and man is almost insignificant. There's almost no difference. We're both very finite. You understand that he is finite. And that is the first thing. That's going to lead you down a path of victory. So now I want to add to that thought. Satan, when he comes against a believer, and when he comes against the ungodly, he has a big plan. Compared to you, it is a big plan. However, when he comes to work against the believer, whether the church as a whole with this grand plan to destroy doctrine and destroy faith and destroy morality, or whether it's his smaller plan just for you, his hopes to foil God's plan are about the same hopes that an ant has to stopping a freight train. I want you to enter into this. We're talking about a little finite creature and the infinite almighty creator. Once you enter into this difference, once you see this difference, you begin to realize that when believers walk around scared to death of the devils, they're walking in fear. They're not walking in faith. You are only vulnerable to the degree that you walk out from underneath the protective covering of Christ by intentionally departing in intentional unbelief or intentional sin. But as long as you stand your ground, you stand your ground in Christ, and you're standing on that ground in Christ, and you realizing, contemplating that Christ is also in you, and that you are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. This is powerful for your spiritual warfare. This is why the scripture says things like, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. It doesn't just say that he backs up. This isn't a bully that realizes you're a little bit stronger than he thought you were. This is a dog sticking his tail between his legs and taking off because it just dawned on him that he's a poodle and Christ is a 58,000-pound mastiff trained to fight. Now, I also want you to notice the phrase here, the phraseology, exceeding greatness of his power. God, you know, God is giving you fuel for your faith here. Not just great power, the exceeding greatness of his power. The implication here is that you're not going to be able to measure this. This is beyond human measurement. And the working of his mighty power. Think about the ramifications of what's being stated here. This power that's available to you is the power of Jesus. And who is this Jesus? Jesus is the Word, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who spoke creation into existence and who sustains all creation. There's no battle here. What is one little finite devil, even if he's the biggest and baddest of them, what is he going to do in comparison to the God who can speak creation into existence and who spoke Satan into existence? And he's going to usher him into isolation for all of eternity with his little finger. Here's some more to think about. This is the Jesus who parted the Red Sea. So it doesn't matter what you're up against in your spiritual warfare. It doesn't matter how trapped you feel. Jesus is fighting for you. And just as he helped Moses, and Moses put his rod over the sea, and the sea parted. Any impediment in your way, Jesus is able to part the sea for you. This is the same Jesus who foiled Satan's plan to pollute the world, not just morally pollute the world, but pollute the human bloodline. And how does God fix the problem? He puts Noah and his family in an ark, and he floods the entire world. He worked a tremendous miracle on several levels to protect his plan of salvation and to protect his chosen people. So whenever you face temptation, whenever you're facing a twisted scripture, whenever you're facing a lie, you're confused. You don't know what's right, what's wrong. You don't know whether to turn to the right or the left. You feel overwhelmed. You feel like you can't get out of bed. You feel like you can't face the day. Just remember that God is standing with you. That you are engraved on his hand. That you are in his hand. That you are in his heart. And he is in your heart. And you are his child. The same God that spoke the universe into existence is ready to speak into existence whatever you need to do whatever you need to do to glorify God with your life, to glorify God with the way you live, to glorify God with victory in your life. Isn't this amazing that we have this power on our behalf? And yet how easy it is as a believer to just kind of slowly over a period of a few days, just kind of walk out of this spiritual power that we can be walking inside of it, like a bubble that protects us. We just kind of walk out of it and we're trudging through life, facing our spiritual battles, like we're nothing but a human being with a Bible. Is it any wonder we get defeated and discouraged and broken? You know, we can't fight these battles in our own strength and have a ghost of a chance of winning. But when we're fighting these battles in the power of the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord, when we're standing our ground in Christ, there's not a ghost of a chance that we can lose. I really love this. This has made such a big difference for me in my own spiritual life. Because I know by 4 decades of experience that my own strength in my best days is weakness. And God's weakness is stronger than all of the rest of the universe put together, multiplied by infinity. Let me help you understand this from yet another illustration in Scripture. Do you remember back in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha and his associate were stuck in the city was Dothan, and they were surrounded by the Assyrian army. And the young man thought that, what are we going to do now? And Elisha wasn't worried. They that are with us are more than they that are against us. And he prayed, and the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and what did the young man see? Horses and chariots of fire surrounding them, surrounding Elisha. And the scripture also tells us the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him. Do you fear the Lord? That means the angel of the Lord himself, will encamp round about you. Every day, you're in your military garrison, and your guard all the way around you is the Lord and his hosts. Isn't that something? It's no different for us than it was for Elisha. I find this tremendously encouraging. I want you to enter into this truth. Satan can't lay a finger on you in any way, shape, or form unless God allows it. And why is God going to allow that? I want you to meditate on this. Every time God allows Satan to come against you, God has something good for you in mind. Satan's coming against you to destroy your faith and to crush you and to break you and discourage you and frustrate you. And what's God's purpose? To strengthen you, encourage you, help you to be more focused. I think this is amazing. Satan can't touch you unless God is allowing him to touch you for God's good purposes, for your gain and God's glory. So when the bottom line for this whole spiritual warfare thing is this: if all the powers and principalities in the entire universe gather together in one group against you, and they were all at the top of their game, their best day for the last 6,000 years was today, and God allowed them all to have triple power, more than they'd ever had before, and they were going to come against you, and nobody was at your side but Jesus himself with one hand tied behind his back, it wouldn't be a battle. It wouldn't even be close. So when it comes to this situation where you've got so much of the church writing about spiritual warfare and talking about spiritual warfare and all engaging this spiritual warfare stuff, and you step back and you look at it and you realize this is almost entirely all based on fear of the powers of darkness. And they feel like they got to have some magic prayers and magic formulas and magic handkerchiefs and magic prayer oil and all kinds of magic stuff that they need to have to defend against that. This is the same superstition as in the Catholic Church. The only thing you need is to trust the Lord Jesus and to trust his word. Stand your ground in Christ and Christ in you. Let's go on to verse 20. We're talking about this amazing power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This was a mighty demonstration of the power of God in the resurrection. And God wants you to know that he's going to work on your behalf with the same kind of power that he manifested in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Now, what happened on that day? All the powers of darkness led by Satan thought they had just put a nail in the coffin of God's plan of redemption. Because Christ was dead and in hell. Thought it was over. And then what happened? Christ rose from the dead and he led captivity captive. And just like a triumphant army marching in their victory song, in their victory celebration, he led those Old Testament saints to glory out of the bowels of hell and all the way up to heaven. And every devil at Satan's side had their head hung in shame. They'd lost that battle. And they'd lost the war. Satan was reduced to telling lies about the resurrection. That's all he had left that he could do. And it couldn't have been much of a lie either. Because there were over 500 witnesses that had seen Christ alive with their own naked eye. So bear in mind once again how finite Satan is compared to the Almighty God. The difference between Satan and God is like the difference between Satan and a bug, except it's a million times bigger. Just think of us. We look at a little ant or a little beetle and it's so small, it's so insignificant. And we could crush it with our eyes closed, step on it, hit it with a hammer. We got 1,000 ways we could take care of that little bug. And the little bug is no threat to us. But the difference between Satan and God is millions of times bigger than the difference between Satan and a bug or you and a bug. If we enter into this, like I've been saying, if we can enter into this, we don't have to fear. We can wake up from a nightmare that would have normally had us scared to death. And we can immediately turn our eyes to the Lord and have a good laugh. Well, that was a nice try, Satan. We can stare death in the face and laugh. Smile. What happens when you go to war? The two sides line up, right? And they start, each side starts counting how many men they got, how many tanks they got, how many guns they got, how many ships they got, how many planes they got, how many bombs they got, how many missiles they got, and they're just adding it all up and figuring what the other side has and can we win? And sometimes the sides are pretty even and it's going to come down completely down to strategy and tactics. But man, you start adding stuff up on this one here. What's Satan got at his disposal? What's God got at his disposal? It's a laugher in a hurry. There is no comparison. God can raise the dead. Satan can't raise the dead. No devil can raise the dead. God can create something out of nothing. He did it for the creation, and he's done it from time to time for the believers. Satan can't create nothing. He can't create something out of nothing. God has infinite knowledge of this entire creation. Satan doesn't have infinite knowledge. God has infinite resources for combat. Satan doesn't have infinite resources. He's got very limited resources. God has infinite knowledge of his enemies. Satan has a very finite knowledge of God. There's just no comparison. There's no reason for us to fear in this battle. You know, if we really enter into this truth, and we start moving away from the fear that Christians often walk into when they're dealing with the powers of darkness, and they start entering into the privileges that we have as the sons of God, and see the glorious light that we're involved with, and see the power of God, and see how closely connected we are. We're inseparable from the Lord himself. And see how fearful the devils are of the Lord Jesus and of God. We enter into that. And you could wake up in the middle of the night and your room could be filled with 100 of the baddest devils on the planet. And you could go back to sleep. Just commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Thank God for his protection and just go right back to sleep. Here's another interesting thought in verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but in that which is to come. This strengthens the point that I just made. The Lord Jesus is not just above the powers and principalities and every name that you could name in the history of the world. He's far above them. And not only is he over them in this age, he's over them in the age to come. He's got no peers. He's got no rivals. He has no threats. He has no competition. Can you imagine a football team that scored every time they got the ball? And not only did they score every time they got the ball, their defense happen to score quite often too. Now multiply the difference between that team and the teams they're crushing by a million. And now you can enter into in a small way, the vastness of God's dominance over the powers of darkness. This war that we're in, it's not going on because it's taking God 6,000 years to finally defeat the enemy. If that was the only goal, if the only goal was to gather up the devil and all of his fallen minions and cast him into hell, it would have been done before Adam fell in the garden. It wouldn't have taken God 3 seconds. The reason there's a spiritual war going on right now is not to overcome the powers of darkness. That's going to happen in the future in a snap of a finger. The spiritual warfare going on right now is for human hearts. We've got God pulling hearts towards eternal life and Satan pulling hearts towards unbelief and eternal damnation. This is the war. And this war just passes from generation to generation to generation. We don't need to beat these devils. They're already beaten. They're as good as cast into hell already. Now, they can do real deception out there, but if we trust the Lord and trust his word, their deceptions can't hurt us. If we stand our ground in Christ, they can harry us but they can't hurt us. I know by my own experiences that we have victory in Christ. Here's another thought. In Ephesians 2:6, we read that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You already have a throne in heaven associated with Christ's throne, which is at the right hand of God. And it's got your name on it. Part of the royal family. Think about the unimaginable opportunity and privilege you have with this. Your throne attached to Christ's throne. You're seated in that throne already in the mind of God. His honor is at stake whenever darkness comes against you. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And I'm going to add the first line of verse 23, which is his body. Matthew 28 tells us all authority on heaven and in earth has been given to Christ. Now, that's not being manifested in the full extent yet. It won't be manifested in the fullest extent until the kingdom. Then that authority will be covering the entire globe, every human being, every society, every culture, every city. But right now, his authority is being wielded on behalf of the church. And it's wielded in the degree that we trust him and go forth in his word under his authority. Now, this is an amazing thought. Jesus, who's your Savior, your Redeemer, your friend, and your brother, he is also the boss and the king and the ruler and the master over the entire creation. Animate and inanimate, living and dead, physical and spiritual, he's the master over the whole thing. So your Redeemer is over everything. Your Savior is over everything. Your brother is over everything. Your friend is over everything. This is way better than knowing the mafia boss and going out to lunch with him once a week. Right? This is better than knowing the president and going out to lunch with him once a week. This is pretty amazing. Now also think about the fact that he is the church's head. We are his body. This is an intimate connection. And the head is going to defend the body. And if the head has dominion over all creation, what does that say about the body? The body also, through the head, has dominion over all creation. This is going to be evidenced in fact and in reality in every way in the future. Right now, it's largely dependent on our walking in faith. Not to make it real, but to have the benefit of it. Because this is the time of faith. In the future, it's going to be sight. So this brings me right back to where I've already been a couple times. There's no reason to walk in fear. There's no reason to walk in doubt. We have guaranteed victory in Christ. The victory is already guaranteed. And so in every particular circumstance, we can embrace that victory and walk in it. We don't have to walk in defeat. So the greatest battle that you face in your spiritual battles is not the enemy coming against you. The greatest battle you face in your spiritual battles is just embracing the truth that Jesus Christ is your victory. And stand your ground in Him. Stand your ground in Christ. Men struggle in this arena because they're afraid. And they try and come up with all kinds of ways where they just make themselves feel like a strong man. And this is not the road to victory. This is the road to defeat. If you step into the arena with the devils and you're flexing your muscles and strutting around and beating yourself on the chest like you're some big wrestling star, some big boxing star, some one of these mixed martial art guys, you're going to get smoked. You're going to get stomped. You're going to get beaten. God will allow that to happen. Not for your hurt, for your gain. We need to realize that He is our strength. You know, most of the stuff I've read on spiritual warfare just tries to puff men up with pride. And all that's going to do is hurt themselves on the battlefield. One of my closing thoughts here is this. Sometimes when people come up about this spiritual warfare and the power that individuals have over the demonic realm, they love to quote that passage about this kind comes out not but by prayer and fasting. And they say, see, I need to have my own spiritual strength for that devil to come out. I'm going to tell you right now, they don't understand that passage. Because when it is a matter of prayer and fasting to cast out devils, this is not a matter of us getting stronger in our own self. This is not, those passages are not talking about man strengthening himself. It's talking about man emptying himself. That's why we fast. And that's why we pray, isn't it? To empty ourselves, not to fill ourselves. Unless we're filling ourselves with Christ. Those kind of devils that require prayer and fasting to deal with, that's where your self-reliance is going to get exposed. And that's where you're going to see that you need to empty yourself of self-reliance and take your ground in Christ and Christ in you. Your strength is entirely from the Lord. And the faster that you realize that for your spiritual warfare, the faster you'll gain victories where you're not having victory today. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do pray that you'd continue to open our eyes, that we could see the great and vast, immense might and power that you've made available to us in Christ for our spiritual warfare, that we could resist the powers of darkness, that we could resist the lies of the devil, that we could resist the temptations of sin and the temptations of the world and the wisdom of the world, and Lord, that we could walk in victory, being a bright shining light with our lips and with our life until the day star dawn and we're gathered to be with the Lord Jesus forever. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.